All right. Mazel tov to Queenie Parnas on the birth of a grandson who had his bris Sunday night.
Sunday evening.
In the Shtachim.
Yes.
In Efrat. In Efrat.
Born to our former babysitter.
And born, yes, to our former babysitter. Oh. The mother of the baby was the one who babysat for our children in West Hampstead.
Wow.
Welcome to Freud, to the Freudensteins of Chicago, who are here for the summer. Okay? All right. Now we're ready to go. We are in chapter 21 in Sefer Melachim. We've gone through most of the chapter, we're just toward the end, and as we reach the end of the chapter, there's something that troubled me, and because of that which troubled me, there's going to be a whole shiur, and I don't even know whether I will be able to complete it during the course of one shiur, it may be more than that. Here is a chapter that we began to learn, I'm afraid only because of an ad that appeared 2 weeks ago in the Haaretz. There was I'm going to bring you up to date with everything. The day on which Benjamin Netanyahu presented his government to the Knesset, there was an ad in the Haaretz. I mean, there was an ad in the Haaretz that quoted a number of psukim in this chapter, chapter 21. Basically, the story of Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu comes down to the vineyard of Navot HaYisraeli. Achav has come to inherit, take possession of the vineyard of Navot. Navot had been framed and put to death through the agents of Izebel, the queen, and then he comes down into the vineyard and he makes that statement that rings across the centuries. Harotzachta, v'gam yorashta, you've murdered and you've also inherited. The ugliness, of course, of the ed in the Haaretz was that this was a group who, on the day that the government is being presented, they have all of these psukim with Harotzachta v'gam yorashta, because it's the day that the government is being presented, and it's 230 days after the assassination of Prime Minister Rabin.
Okay,
well,
it was really a number of days after the assassination.
They wrote in the ed that it's 230 days after the... It's 230 days after the assassination, and here it is, they are accusing the entire right who won the elections. Ratzachta, you killed. Now you've inherited, you've taken over the government. This, of course, was aside from the fact that it was immoral and unconscionable. What I wanted to make certain is that we should at least know where the pasuk comes from, and that this by no means is what was meant by the pasuk. So that brought us already into the whole Achav and Izebel, the absolute evil and wickedness of Achav and Izebel, which sort of toward the end of last week's share, this is going to be an ongoing theme, because we did mention the strange machloket of this century. The strange machloket of this century, and that's going to come up during the course of some comments we will make today. The strange machloket of this century is, was Achav a Rasha? Was Achav a wicked, wicked king? Or wasn't Achav a wicked king? What difference did it make? The difference that it made was the following. Achav was extremely successful on the field of battle. He was one of the most successful kings. God brought, literally, we'll see it in the Psukim, miracles were brought through Achav. Achav was the beneficiary of great victories on the field of battle that God said, I'm going to give the enemy into your hand. Now, we'll say it clear, the position of Satmar was that Achav had to be a tzaddik, because God doesn't bring miracles through Rishoyim, through the evil. This was a position that Satmar had to adopt. since they believed, the Rebbe believed that the miracles that took place over here could not have been real miracles. It had to be miracles of Satan, because the Rebbeim doesn't bring miracles through Rishoyim. This was the position taken by Sakhar. So therefore, if miracles happen to Achav, so you have only one way out. Achav, who it seems from the Psukim, was one of the worst Rishoyim, one of the worst kings, we have to turn Achav into a tzaddik.
Can't we say it's a miracle of Satan as well?
That's a very good point. Maybe that was all these miracles were the miracles of Satan, except that it's in the Pasuk and it says it's Hashem who's saying it. A little difficult to turn into Satan. Of course, the position that has been taken by just about everybody else, and I will prove it from other places, the position that was taken by everybody else was Achav was a Rasha. He was a terrible Rasha. And there are so many psukim that keep the absolute evil of this man. However, we are not the Balabatim to tell God who to use as the instrument of a miracle. The Gemara says, Yavo Hanes, Mikol Makom, let the miracle come from wherever it is. And there are very often times that God will choose one who is evil, that he should be the beneficiary or the recipient or the means by which the miracle comes. God wants to save the Jewish people. He's the one that's available. He will be the one who will bring about the miracle. It's not that there was no Lashon Hara in his time. That happens to be a Talmud Yerushalmi, where the Talmud Yerushalmi says, Doro shel David, in the generation of David, they would go down to war and men fell in battle. Doro shel Achav, in the generation of Achav, they would go down to battle and men would not fall. And the Gemara says, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, what's the difference? In the generation of David, there were those who spoke Lashon Hara. Doeg ha'adomi. In the days of Achav, it doesn't mean nobody spoke Lashon Hara, but they were able to keep secrets. What was the great secret? Ovadia, who was in charge of the house of Achav, when Izebel slaughtered the prophets of God were slaughtered. Ovadia took 100 prophets and hid them, 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave, and all the food that was going to be provided for them came from the house of Achav himself. Do you understand? Here is a major operation and there are no leaks. Here somebody in the house of the king himself is protecting 100 prophets and is providing them with all of their sustenance and all of their needs, and there is nobody says a word. So it doesn't mean that the whole generation, the generation was a generation of evildoers. We're going to put Achav on the back burner because as I start off by saying, there was something that I think even it may have been a question that somebody asked that triggered all sorts of associations. So just sit back and you're going to follow me. You're going to follow me on an adventure through Tanakh. Watch. I better, I'm raising your expectations. I had better deliver the goods. So at the end of chapter 21, Eliyahu tells him, in the name of God, Harotzachta v'gam yorashta. Have you killed and also inherited? And therefore, you know what's going to happen? Eliyahu Hanavi tells Achav that his family and his dynasty will be destroyed and obliterated. The dogs are going to lick the blood of Achav. Absolute and total destruction. Then it says, Pasuk 27, in chapter 21, Melachim Aleph. Vayihi kishmoa Achav et hadvarim ha'elo, when Achav heard these things, vayikra begodav, he tore his garments, vayosem sak al besoro, he put sackcloth upon his flesh, vayotzom, and he fasted, Vayishkav basak, and he went to lie down. When he went to sleep, he said, he slept with the sackcloth on, very, very painful. Vayahalech ad, and he walked slowly, sort of shuffled. He looked and he acted like the great Baal Tshuva. Vayihi Tevar Hashem El Eliyahu HaTishbi. The word of God came to Eliyahu HaTishbi Lemor so saying, Haraita ki nichna Achav milafanai? Do you see that the Achav has humbled himself before me? And Yan ki nichna mipanai, because he has humbled himself before me, lo avi hara'obi amav, I'm not going to bring the evil in his day, be made b'no avi hara'ol beitom, the days of his son, I will bring the evil upon his house. Vayeshu shalosh shanim ein milchama, 3 years, no war, bein Aram u'bein Yisrael, for 3 years, no war. Somebody made the comment, let me ask you, how does it sound, the tshuva of Achav, the repentance of Achav? What does it sound like? What does it bring to mind? You know, exactly. What it brings to mind is the tshuva of the people of Nineveh. Yonah comes into the city of Nineveh and he pronounces, Od arba'im yom v'Nineveh nehepachet, in another 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And I think the one who made the association last week just walked in. So she just in time. And here it was. In fact, if what happens as soon as Yonah says, Od arba'im yom, in another 40 days, Nineveh nehepachet, so it says the following. The king of Nineveh, Vayiga Adovel Melech Nineveh, it came to the king of Nineveh. Vayokom Yikiso, he got up from his throne. Vayaver Adar Tomei Olov, he removed his cloak. Vayechas Sak, he covered himself with sackcloth. Vayeshev Al Ha'efer, and he sat on ash. And he called out to all of the people in Nineveh. There was an announcement, hear ye, in the name of the king. What does the king say? Man and animal, sheep and cattle, shall not eat, fast. They shall not graze. They shall not drink water. Everybody should cover themselves with sackcloth and call out to God in strength. And each person should do tshuva midarko hara umin hachomas asher bekapeihem. And from the evil, the theft that is in their hands. Unbelievable, unbelievable tshuva. Tremendous tshuva. Was it real? Would it last? Chazal say it was tshuva shel rama'ut. It was a tshuva of deceit. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that the first burst of tshuva was planned deceit. There's something about it that's too quick. The change is too dramatic. There's something about this that just can't. It's the kind of thing that comes in that first burst of the terrible bad news, but chances are that these people are going to go back to their evil ways. There's something missing over here. Now, when you read the description of what Achav does, it also sounds, it's all externals. Everything is external. All the same. Exactly as it says by Nineveh. Fasting, putting on sackcloth, walking and shuffling humbly and meekly like the Baal Tshuva. It seems to be show. It seems to be something that even if it's not show, it doesn't have much substance to it. It can't last. What? Yeah, all right, say that it's inspired by fear. The question is, does it have the ingredients which are going to make it meaningful and lasting. Let's not get too from over here, Vidui and all the rest. It's not Yom Kippur. Good, okay. We made short shrift of that question last week. In other words, let's say that I'm going to try and answer that today. How do you like that? I'm going to make that question one of the questions that I want to answer today. The sentence is delayed. I want to ask something else as well. This is an extremely important communication that God has to say to Elio, did you see how Ahav has humbled himself before me? And because he has humbled himself, therefore I'm not going to bring the punishment in his day. It will come in the days of his son. I mean, God could simply have told Elio, go tell Ahav, because you have humbled yourself before me, I will not bring punishment in your day. That's not what God is saying. God seems to be communicating with Eliyahu more than he is with Ahav. There's a message that he wants to send to Elio. Elio, have you seen how Ahav has humbled himself before me? So what does God mean to say? Does God mean to say, you know, in his struggle with this lowly, mere mortal, God won the struggle? Is this what he means to tell him? Take a look, you know. It was me against Ahav, and I won. Is that what he means? No, that's not what he means. Haraita, did you see, ki nichna Ahav milefanai, that Ahav has become humble before me. And because he has become humble before me, therefore I'm not going to bring the evil in his day, I'm going to bring it in the days of his son. Is at the very heart of Eliyahu, the personality of Eliyahu, the message of Eliyahu, and what we are witnessing over here is an ongoing struggle. There is a battle between Eliyahu Hanavi and God. There is a struggle between the two. What is going to be most fascinating about this struggle is precisely the same struggle, the same battle takes place between Yonah and God. And I want to demonstrate to you, first of all, what is it that is at the very core of the personality of Eliyahu? And then we will understand what it is that makes Yonah tick. Because, of course, the overriding question that we will have in Sefer Yonah is, why in heaven's name does he flee from before God? What do you mean, flee? And where can you flee from before God? Onami panecho evrach, David HaMelech says, where can I flee from before you? Is there any place on the face of this earth that God will not be able to come down there and strike down Yonah? Yonah flees, and he runs away, and he runs away. And we want to know, why does he run away? Not only he runs away, after he sees the tshuva, he sits outside the city, and in that fourth chapter of Sefer Yonah, he says, if the God has already decided he's not going to bring punishment upon Nineveh, no punishment upon Nineveh, no punishment upon Ahav, same thing. So in the fourth chapter of Yonah, it says that Yonah prays to God and he says, Ano Hashem, please God, this is exactly what I told you. Halozet devori ad hayoti alad mati. This is exactly what I said while I was still in Eretz Yisrael. Al kein kidamti levrach Tarshisha. You know why I fled to Tarshish? I'll tell you why I fled to Tarshish. I fled to Tarshish ki yadati, because I knew. Ki ato kel rachum v'chanan. You're a chanun v'rachum. You are merciful and compassionate. You're erech apayim. You're long suffering, rav chesed, full of kindness, v'nicham al hara'ah, and you don't want to bring evil. You understand? This is most probably the most difficult pasuk in all of Yonah. Now you know why I fled. God, I can't take it. You're so good. You make me sick. You're Rachum Rechanam, you're Erech HaPayim, you're Rav Chesed, you're full of kindness and mercy and pity and compassion and all the rest. That's why I fled. Does that make sense? And to the point that he says, V'yato Hashem, now God, kachno et nafshi mimeni, take my life from me, ki tov moti mechayai, better that I be dead than I be alive. Strange! What in heaven's name does Yonah mean? If we want to understand Yonah, we have to understand, all that I've demonstrated so far is that there are external similarities between what happens with Yonah and what happens with Elio and Ahav, but they go a great deal deeper. Yonah ben Amittai. Let your fingers do the walking now through the Navi. I want to take you to the beginning of the story of Elio. Elio appears for the first time, chapter 17. First pasuk in chapter 17. That's where he appears. Vayomer Eliyahu Hatishbi, Eliyahu Hatishbi mitoshavei Gilad, one of the residents of Gilad. He was an East banker. He came from the East Bank, Gilad. Eliyahu Hatishbi, one of the residents of Gilad, said to Achav, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, I swear by the name of God, the God of Israel, Asher Amadeti Lefonov, before whom I stood, Im Yi Ashanim Ha'ele Talu Mata, there shall not be dew or rain these years, Ki Im Lefi Dvari, only if I'm going to say that they should be. Talu Mata. All right. First of all, there's something very unusual about this. He's the only Navi who sort of just appears. Where is he coming from? Not only that, we don't even know what is it that prompted him to say this. What motivated him to say it? All of a sudden, chapter 17, Eliyahu HaTishbi, he's not even called Eliyahu HaNavi at this point, Eliyahu HaTishbi, he says, no rain, no dew, finished. Unless I say it. What we're going to need over here is we're going to need what Chazal say in order to give us the actual fleshes out the picture for us. According to Chazal, it's all related to the two psukim at the end of the chapter before. So now I'm going to take you two psukim back. Vayas Achav et Asherah. Achav made the Asherah. By the way, this is there have been 5-6 psukim over here that talk about the absolute evil of this fellow Achav. Absolute evil, Rasha Gomer, of the worst, lowest order. And Achav made the Asherah, by Yosef, Achav lasot lahachiset Hashem lekeso mikol malchei Yisrael asher hayu lefanav. He caused God anger more than all of the other kings of Israel before him. You understand? So, this is a pasuk that has to be remembered when somebody's going to try and tell you that Achav is a big tzaddik. This is the worst. He's the worst. Biyamav, in his days, Bono Chiel Beit Ha'eli at Yericho. In his days, Chiel of Beit Ha'eli built the city of Yericho. Now there was a curse. Pasuk is going to tell us there's a curse. Yahushua had cursed the one who was going to build the city of Yericho, that when he digs the foundations, his firstborn son is going to die, and when he puts on the gates to the city, he completes the construction of the city, his youngest son is going to die. Biyamav, in his days, Bonach Chiel Beit Ha'eli at Yericho, Chiel of Beit Ha'eli built Yericho, and Ba'aviram Bechoro Yizda, with his firstborn son Aviram, with the death of his firstborn son Aviram, he laid the foundations, Ubisguv Tziro Hitziv Deloteha, and Seguv, his youngest son, he put on the walls of the city, Kidvar Hashem Asher Dibe B'Yad Yoshua Benun, as the words of God that was said through Yoshua Benun. And Chazal said during the entire, there were other children, and during the course of the construction, all of his children died. We once discussed the psychology of how does a man keep doing this? Why doesn't he stop after the firstborn dies? Why doesn't he stop after the second? All right, this was the subject of a shiur. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz deals with this question, and he says this is cognitive dissonance. A person has difficulty saying that he made a mistake. He justifies, he rationalizes, he finds all sorts of reasons. This was a circumstance, this just happened to happen. There was such an epidemic, and never this child died from that, and that child died from that. Man can't break the cycle in which he finds himself. Say Chazal the following. What's the relationship between Chiel of Beit El building Yericho and Elio HaTishbi all of a sudden appearing on the scene? Elo Omalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elio, God said to Elio, Chiel Zeh Adam Choshevu, this Chiel fellow is an important person. Leich Lehera Ot Lefanav Lenachmo, go see him and console him. Go for a Nichum Abelim visit. Omalo, Elio said, Ein Ani Holech, I'm not going.
Okay,
it takes a little guts. Amalo, God said to him, Lama, why aren't you going to go? Amalo, so he said, Im Elech, now here's an extremely important sentence. Im Elech, if I go, Vehem Yomru Dvarim Hamach Isimotcha, and they're going to say things that anger you, God, Ein Ani Yacholus Bol, I won't be able to take it. I'll let you in on the secret. Eliyahu is God's angry man. Eliyahu Zeh Pinchas. Yes, very good. Not only Eliyahu Zeh Pinchas, and by the way, if tomorrow would not be Shavuos of the Tammuz, the Haftorah of Parshas Pinchas, when Parshas Pinchas comes before Shavuos of the Tammuz, is the confrontation, the main confrontation between God and Eliyahu. And we're going to get to that. There's a struggle. I'm describing Eliyahu now as God's angry man. If they're going to say things that anger you, God, I will not be able to take it, and I'm not going to be responsible for what I say. Halach. But he went. God told him to go, so he went. Umotza otam oskim bakotav. You know what pasuk they were talking about at the shiva? The shiva for one of the children. They're talking about the pasuk in Yehoshua, where Yehoshua says, whoever builds Yericho, his children are going to die. Omer Eliyahu said, Baruch Elokei HaTzadikim HaMekayim Divreim Shal HaTzadikim. I mean, this is a pretty strange Nichum Avelim visit. He says, blessed is God who fulfills the words of the Tzadikim. Yehoshua said that whoever is going to build Yericho, his children are going to die. That's exactly what's happening over here. You know who else was present at that Nichum Avelim? Achav was also there. Achav was a good friend of Chiel. Omalehem Achav. So Achav said, who's greater than whom? Moshe or Yeshua? Of the two, who's greater? So everybody said, Moshe is greater than Yeshua. Moshe was the Rebbe. Yeshua was the Talmud. Omalehem Sa'achav said, in the Torah of Moshe it says, we say it in Shema, Yishanu lachem, be very careful, pen yifte levachem, lest your heart is going to turn away. And you're going to worship other gods, v'hishtachavit, and you're going to bow down to them. So you know what's going to happen? You know what God is going to do? V'atzarat hashamayim. He's going to close up and lock up the heavens that there won't be any rain. If you worship idols, there won't be any rain. Says Achav, take a look. There isn't a hill in Yisrael that I haven't built an Avodah Zarah there. I put idols all over Eretz Yisrael, and the rain is coming down all over the place. So you're going to tell me that what the student Yehoshua said is being fulfilled, and what the Rebbe Moshe said is not being fulfilled? Hey, come to Avodah Zarah, I'll call Telem to Telem. I have placed Avodah Zarah idolatry all over Eretz Yisrael. So the Miyad nitmale Eliyahu chemo gedola. Immediately Eliyahu became full of great anger. This is a description of the man. Chemo gedola. Al Achav. He became angry against Achav. And he said to Achav, Reka, you empty one. Ma'astat mi shaborat kol holam kula l'chvado. You have rejected the one who created the world. And you rejected the one who gave Torah. Chayecha, I swear, I'm going to judge you only on the basis of what you said. Miyad amalo Eliyahu. Eliyahu immediately said, okay, I swear to God, I swear by God's name, exactly what Moshe said is going to be fulfilled. Moshe said that if there's idolatry, there won't be rain. No rain. No rain. There will not be rain in Eretz Yisrael unless I say so. That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara and the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. All right. Which means the following. Eliyahu here appears for the first time, not saying anything in the name of God, but this is something that he has decided upon himself. There isn't going to be any rain. Maybe we should ask, didn't God stop the rain? Why did the rain continue to come down upon Eretz Yisrael, even though Ahav had turned Eretz Yisrael into a hotbed of idolatry? Why? What's it?
Yeah. We read that there was our God Israel during that time. A God of Shem who was willing to take himself.
Well, she was saying, yeah, because they, you know, everybody loved everybody else. I don't know.
Unity of the people.
I don't know. Is it so? Ahav is killing Nevi'im all over the place. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, there's murder going on. Blood is flowing through the streets. So what kind of unity? I mean, what kind of Avos Yisrael? We love all Jews except Nevi'im. I don't know. Okay. Why not something as simple as God is merciful? Do you have to bring punishment? Because he said so in Torah, he must bring it now, when you want it, or we want it, or Eliyahu decides to bring it. Maybe God is merciful. What is it that God says to Yonah? What do you want from me? Echlo Ochos, how can I not have mercy, pity, and compassion on a city of hundreds of thousands of people that don't know the difference between Yamin on the Smachon? They don't know the difference with their right hand and their left hand. They don't know. So it's Rachmanis, so what do you want from me? Shoot me because I'm merciful, because I'm kind. Tov Hashem Lakol, the Rechem of Alkol Ma'asov, God is good to all, and His mercy. Eliyahu is going to wage a relentless battle against God, because Eliyahu does not understand God's mercy and His compassion. He doesn't understand His chesed, doesn't understand His rachamim. And watch, let's read further in chapter 17. Vayidvar Hashem Elav Leimor, Pasuk 2, and the word of God came to him saying, Lech mi zeh, go from here. God speaks to Eliyahu, says, go from here, ufanita lecha kedma, go to the east, v'nistarto benachal Krit, and hide yourself in the valley or near the river of Krit, asher al pnei hayarden, that is near the Yarden. V'hoyen, it shall come to pass, mehanachal tishta, you're going to drink from the river, v'ta'orvin tziviti lechal kelcha asham, and I have commanded the ravens that they should feed you there. Vayelech vayaz kidvar Hashem, and he went and he did as God had told him. Vayelech v'yeshev benachal Krit, he went and he sat at the river of Krit asher al pnei hayarden, that's near the Yarden. V'ho'orvim mevim lo lechem u'bosav aboker, and the ravens bring him bread and meat in the morning. V'lechem u'bosav ba'erev, and meat and bread in the evening. U'min ha'nachal yishten, from the nachal he would drink. And it came to pass after a certain amount of time, the nachal went dry, because there was no rain in the land. Why does God send him off there? You know why God sends him off there? Eliyahu, no rain? I want you to feel the pain of not having, you had water all of this time, and now all of a sudden, no water. Who else has a similar experience? Yonah is sitting outside of the city of Nineveh. It's something to cover him, and he has such beautiful shade, and he's so thrilled with it. And then, by morning, the sun is coming up, and all the shade that he had disappears. It dies. Yonah says, God, I'd rather die now. And God turns to him and he says, this shade that you never toiled, you didn't plant it, you didn't water it, you didn't make it, it appeared miraculously overnight, and all of a sudden that it's gone, you feel terrible. So what am I supposed to do with all of those people that I've created? God wants Eliyahu to know what it feels like, and evens are ugly, cruel birds. They don't like man. In a sense, what the relation is telling him, you know, Elio, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm going to send those who really have no mercy and no compassion. They're going to feed you. By the way, there's also something about this story that should an association in Parashat Parlotcho, when Jews are complaining they don't have food, you know, they don't, so the Rebbe Shem sends them basar, have all the flesh you want, send your steaks and take a second of it. Sort of, it's like, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Let the Orvin take care of you. Let the ravens take, I don't want to have anything to do with you. What the Rebbe Shem here is doing is he's putting through his paces. The only thing is, during this entire period of time, and we have no idea how long it is, Elio is not coming. Who has come, has been there, out there by nature. He doesn't know what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, by Yidvar Hashem Elav Leimor, the word of God came from saying, Kum Leich Tzorfata, go to Tzorfat, Asher Litzidon, which is near Tzidon. V'yashavta Sham and live there, Hinei Tziviti Sham Isha Almana L'chal Kalecha. I have commanded a woman who's a widow to sustain you. V'yakam, he got up and he went to Tzorfata, V'yavo Petach, he came to the gate of the city, v'hinei sham isha almana, there's a widow who's mekosheshet eitzim, she is gathering bread, sticks. V'yikra elah, he called to her and he said, k'china li ma'at mayim bakli v'eshta, please take me a little bit of water in a keli v'eshta, and I will drink. V'atelech l'kachat, she went to bring water. V'yikra elah, and he called to her, v'yom, and he said, l'k'china li pat lechem v'yodech, give me a little bread. But Thomas, she said, Chai Hashem Elokech, I swear to God, in Yeshlimo, I don't have anything. Ki im lo kaf kemach bakad. You know what I have? I have a handful of flour. And ma'at shemen betzapachat, and there's a little bit of oil. V'hinini mikosheshet shnayim eitzim. All I'm going to gather is two sticks. U'bati v'asiti u'li l'vni, I'm going to make it for me and my son. We're going to eat it and die. There's no food left. This is the last of the flour. This is the last of the water. Do you know what the Rebbe Shem? Why? What's happening by Klal Yisrael? There's famine and hunger and death. And you know why it's all happening? Because Eliyahu has said, no rain. Vayomer Eliyahu said to Altiri, don't be afraid. Do exactly what you can do. She's going to take a little bit of flour and make a little lachmania ala achasili misham uga ketana b'mishana. Make for me a tiny lachmania at first. The hotzeitli and bring it out to me. The lach, the levnech, for me and for your son tasi b'achrona. For you and your son, make at the end. First, make me a little one. Ki chomar Hashem lekei Yisrael, because so says the God of Israel. Kacha kenach lo tichle. Your jar with flour is never going to end. There's always you have. You're always going to be pouring oil out of it. Ad yom teit Hashem geshem al pnei hadam, until God is going to give rain upon the face of this earth. He's not ready yet to do it. You understand? He's sort of shifting the blame to God. The fact is that the blame is all his. Vatelech vatase kitvar Elio. She went and she did exactly as Elio said. Vatochal he bahu. She and he ate ubeita yamin. For many days they ate from the little of flour and the little oil. Kacha kenach lo kolata. The flour didn't stop. Tzapacha hashem lo chaser. And the oil did not end, Kidvar Hashem Asher Dibe V'Yad Elio, as the words of God that was said through Elio. Elio had it in his power. He said, no rain. He said, the oil and the flour will continue. Oil and flour continue. Vayi Achat Vonam Elim, came to pass after these things, Cholo Ben Ho'isha Ba'alat Habayit, the son of this woman, who's the Ba'alat Habayit, he took sick, Vayi Cholo Chosok Miyot, he was very sick, until no life was left of him. He died. What's there between me and you, Ishalakim Botela, you came Ilahaskir, Tarponi, Ilahomit, that the need to remind God of my sin and to kill my son? In other words, in comparison to you, we're so small, we're so insignificant. Vayomer Elah, Elah, he said to her, Tnili et Benech, give me your son. Vayikochel Michaitani, took from her lap. Vayaleo El Haliyah, took him up to the attic, Asher Yoshefam, where he had his own room. Vayashkiveo Mitasu, he put him right on his bed. Vayikro Hashem, and he called to God, Vayomer, and he said, Hashem Elokai, God, my God. Hagan Al Ha'almona Hasheni Mitgoredi Ma, Harei Ota Lahamit et Benah. Do you hear the way Eliyahu speaks to God? Even this poor almana who I live to kill her son, by Yifmoded al Yelet Shalosh Paman, and he stretched himself out upon the child three times, by Yikra al Hashem, by Yom, and he called out to God and said, Hashem alakai, Toshav not nefesh Ayelet Azel Kibo, bring the child's life back into him. By Yishma Hashem bekel Eliyahu, and God heard bekel Eliyahu, do I have to repeat again the meaning of bekel, meaning exactly what he had said, by Toshav nefesh Ayelet al Kibo, by Yahi, the life of the child came back to him and he lived. By Yikach Eliyahu et Hayelet, and Eliyahu took the child by Yoridehu min ha'aliyah ha'baita, and he took him from the attic down into the house by Yitnehu li'umo, and he gave him to his mother by Yomer Eliyahu, and Eliyahu said, Re'i, see, chai b'nech, your son is alive. But Tomer ha'isha el Eliyahu, the woman said to Eliyahu, Ata zeyadati. This pasuk is going to be so crucial in our understanding of Eliyahu and our understanding of Yonah. The woman says, Ata zeyotati, now I know, ki ishul kimata, that you are a man of God. Do you understand? They've had flour every day now for I don't know how long because of his words. The oil keeps flowing because of his words. And she says, now I know that you are ishul kim, udvar Hashem, and the word of God, the ficha that is in your mouth, is emet, is truth.
No,
used only with regard to Elio. Tony Rabbi Eliezer Yerushalmi says the following. Rabbi Eliezer learned, Yonah ben Amittai was this child. Yonah the son of Amittai ben Tzarfit Almanahaya, he was the son of this woman. Bino Asher Echiyah Elisha, this is the son that Eliyahu brought back to life. And what does this woman say? Now I know that the word of God that is in your mouth is truth. Rabbi Yochanan says, Yonah ben Amittai, Yonah the son of Amittai, Navi Emet Haya, was a true prophet. Navi Emet, well, what does Rabbi Yochanan mean? And the other prophets, only Yonah is a true prophet? Strange statement. By the way, there's another similarity between Yonah and Eliyahu. When Yonah goes out on the boat, the Gemara says, Lo holach Yonah elo kidei la'aveid, that's mo bayam. Yonah went out in order to die. He wanted to commit suicide. He wanted to die in the sea. We're going to have, I believe, in the next chapter, no, chapter after this, that Eliyahu is going to say, God, Tov moti mechayai, better that I die. Huh. In chapter 19, pasuk 4. Vahu hala b'midbar, Eliyahu went through the desert, derech yom, one day's journey. Vayavon, he came by Yeshiv tachat rotem echad, he sat down under a rotem tree. Vayishalat nafsholamu, to the ears to die. Vayoma, and he said, Rav, the Benishman, enough. Ata Hashem kach nafshi, God, take my life. Ki lo tov anochi mi'avotai, I'm no better than my fathers. He's being pursued by Achav and Izebel. And this is already after his great victory at Har Carmel. Great victory at Har Carmel. He wants to die. Yonah says, the Benjamin, take my life. Who else says?
Yonah.
Who else says, I would rather die? Huh?
Moshe
says it. In addition to Mecheni Nami Sifrecha, in Parshat Balotcha, he says, I can't take it. If this is what you want me to do, I'd rather die. He can't carry the burden of Klal Yisrael. Yonah appears twice more in Sefer Malachim. Yonah appears in Malachim Bet. In Malachim Bet, it says the says the following. I have to find it. I'm usually pretty good, but Chapter 9 in Malachim Bet. Ve'Elisha Hanavi, the prophet Elisha, Korel Achav Mibnei Hanavim, Elisha the prophet, called to one of the sons of the prophets, Vayomalo, and he told him, Chagor Matnecha, gird your loins, whatever that means, the Kach Kach Hashem, and take a... Chapter 9, Malachim Bet. And take the oil, Hazebi Yadech on your hands, Vilech Ramot Gilad, go to Ramot Gilad, Uvat Hashama, you'll come there and you're going to see Yehu ben Yoshafet ben Nimshi. And you should, Uvata, you should come in, Vahakimoto Mitochechna, get him to up from amongst his brothers, Vahiveto Tocheda Vacheda, take Yehu and bring him into a private room. Vilakachta Pach Hashem, you should take the oil, Vyatsakta Rosh, and you'll pour it on his head, Vahamarta, you should sell. Ko Amar Hashem, so says God, Mishachticha l'melech al Yisrael, I have anointed you a king over Israel. Ufatachta hadelet v'nasta v'lo techakeh. Open the door, flee, don't wait a moment. He's going to anoint a new king over Israel. Vayelech hanar, the boy went, nar hanavi, the boy of the Navi, to Ramat Gilad. Vayavu, when he came, v'hinei sari achayil yosrim, and behold, the commanders in chief are sitting there. And he said, Davar li'elecho hasar. To one of the officers, he says, I have a word to say to you. Vayomer Yehu, Yehu said, El mini kulanu, which one of all of us? Vayomer, he said, Elecho, so to you, Yehu. Vayokam, he got up. Vayavo habayit, he came into the house. Vayitzel Hashem and El Rosho. And this boy of the Navi poured the oil on his head. Vayomer, and he said, Ko Omer Hashem al Yisrael, so says the God of Israel. Mishachtich ol melech el am Hashem al Yisrael. I have anointed you as king over the people of God of Israel. V'hikita et beit Achav Adonecha. He's the one, Yehu is the one who's going to destroy the house of Achav. Destroy the house of Achav, your master. V'nikamti d'mei avadai hanabim u'd'mei kol avdei Hashem liyad Yisrael. And I will have revenge for the blood of all of my servants, the prophets, and all of the servants of God that were killed by Yisrael. V'avad kol beit Achav, the entire house of Achav will be destroyed. V'hechrati v'Achav. This is exactly the curse that God places upon Achav through Eliyahu in chapter 21, the chapter of Haratzachta v'gam Yerashta. I will destroy l'Achav mashtin v'kir v'otzav ozav Yisrael. V'natati et beit Achav k'beit Yerovim ben Avad. I will destroy the house of Achav like the house of Yerovim ben Avad. U'k'beit Basha ben Achia. That Izebel yoklu haklovim, the dogs are going to eat Izebel in the portion of Israel. Where in the portion of Israel?
Near
the vineyard of Nabat Yizeli. Ve'en kover, nobody's going to bury her. Vayiftach hadelet vayanos. The boy of the Navi opened the door and he fled. Ve'yehu yotzal le'avdei Adonav. Yehu went back to the meeting of the commanders in chief of the army. Vayomalo. And they said to him, Hashalom, is everything okay? Why did this Meshukah come to you? They said to him, he said to them, you know the man in his Torah, Nachash and Isis. Isn't it fascinating? Nachash and Isis, Hank Nachin, this Meshukah walks into a meeting of the high command. And he says, I have a word to say with you. All of a sudden, who is it that you want to speak to? You. And Yehu immediately gets up because the Meshuggah called. Now Yehu is saying, you know this Meshuggah, we all know him. Vayomru, and they said, Sheker. your life. Haged Nolanu, tell us what he said. Vayomer, and Yehu said, Chazot v'chazot omar elai leimo, this is what he said to me, so saying. Ko amar Hashem, so says God, Mishachticha lemelech el Yisrael, I have anointed you as king over Israel. And you know what they did? Vayimaru, they hurried, Vayikush bigdo, each one took his garment, Vayosimu tachav, and they placed their garments. So Walter Raleigh, understand? They all placed their garments immediately out on the ground, on the steps, and Yehu is appointed as king. Oh, wait a minute. Because of what? Because the Meshuggah said, the word of the Meshuggah is accepted as what? As absolute truth, emet. And how do they express it when they tell Yehu, sheker? Who's the boy? Who's the boy? I give you one guess. Yonah ben Amittai. Do you know what they know about Yonah ben Amittai? Yonah ben Amittai is Navi Emet. What's his father's name? Amittai. Amittai? Truth? What's so strange about this Eliyahu and this Yonah? Yonah is the child, the spiritual child of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is God's angry man. Yonah is God's angry man. Yonah appears once more in Tanakh, and this time by name. It had to be in chapter 14. And this all relates to the whole idea. Oh, you give up. Chapter 14. The fingers, move the fingers to chapter 14. Melachim Bet, yes. I said move ahead. I assume we're moving ahead. Now watch a few psukim, and these psukim are a yesod of hashkafa. Extremely, extremely important. And they bring us back to the beginning of the shir, but not yet to the end of the shir. This shir, I'm going to try and end it off today, but it ain't going to end. Watch. בשנת 15 שנה למצוא בן יואש מלך יהודה מלך ירובם בן יואש מלך ישראל בשומרון ארבעים ואחת שנה ירובם בן יואש became king of Shomron for 41 years. This ירובם בן יואש ויעש הרע בעיני השם, he did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Chapter 14, Pasuk 24. לא סור מכל חטאוס ירובם בן נבט, he didn't move away from the sins of ירובם בן נבט, אשר הכתי את ישראל, who caused Israel to sin. This guy, therefore, is a genuine, bona fide Rasha Merusha. This evil person had tremendous and spectacular success on the field of battle. Hu Heshivet Gvul Yisrael, he brought back to the boundaries of Israel, Milavo Chamat Ad Yam Ha'arava. Those are nearly the extremities of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Kidvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Dibeh Biyadato, is the words of God, the God of Israel, said through his servant Yonah ben Amittai Hanavi Hashem Yigat HaChefa. Yonah ben Amittai, the prophet from Gat HaChefa. So this terrible Russia, he is so tremendously successful on the field of battle. How can it be? God doesn't bring miracles through Rishayim. So the pasuk explains, Ki ra Hashem et ani Yisrael, because God saw the suffering of Israel, Morem Ma'od, it was very terrible. Ve'efes also, there was no leadership, and there was no material, no means to Klal Yisrael. And you know what else God saw? Ein ozer li Yisrael, there wasn't a single soul in the world to Klal Yisrael. Were all alone. Am levadad yishkol. The lo diber Hashem, these psukim are so awesome. These are psukim that have to be learned by peh. The lo diber Hashem limchot et shem Yisrael mitachav Hashem. God had never intended that the Jewish people should be erased from beneath the heavens. By Yoshiyim biyad Yerovam ben Yoash. They have to be saved. The king now is Yerovam ben Yoash. I want to save the Jewish people. I will use anybody. God says I will use anybody. Don't tell me stories that the Beisham doesn't bring miracles through Rishayim. Here is a bona fide Russia. And you know why the Rebbe Nachum brings such tremendous success through him? Because Israel was all alone. There was nobody that was going to come to their aid and their assistance. He's the king, then he's going to be God's instrument. And who's the one that says it? Yonah and Amitai Hanavi Hashem Yikatachem. Okay. The Eretz Yisrael, they had already broken through at Tobruk and had crossed into Egypt. The British High Command had prepared for plans to fall back across the Middle East to the other side of the Euphrates. The big question for a year, they dealt with the following question. I read it yesterday, you should know. I shuddered. The plan was for an evacuation of Britons and their families, everybody out of Egypt and out of Palestine. Because, number one, there were 5,700 British subjects living in Palestine. Of the 5,700, I believe about 3,000, I don't have the numbers correct, 3,000 also happened to be Jews. So now if they're going to evacuate, where are you going to evacuate them to? So they sent messages to the various colonies. England in those days had a lot of colonies. Every last single British colony said, we will accept all British citizens except the Jews. Australia said that they didn't have place. Yeah. Unbelievable. Not a single British colony would accept British subjects who were Jews that the British government was evacuating from Palestine. Then came the serious problem. You know what the serious problem was? They were afraid that as soon as the evacuation began, people on their own are going to clog the roads. Jews are going to flee Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have to get out of the way of Hitler. They know that they don't stand a chance under Hitler. Do you know what the British planned in this country? You know what plan they came up with? If these you decided to do, there were 5,300 vehicles that belonged to Jews. Every one of the 5,300 vehicles, 1,000 buses, tenders, every last one was going to be destroyed. They were also going to make certain that as Hitler makes his way into Palestine, you understand? No gas, petrol. Petrol is going to be made available. Which means, you know what they planned? They planned on Canada didn't have place for 20,000 Jewish children. You understand? The cities are so crowded with Eskimos. You have no idea. There's not enough place to breathe in Canada. Another million years, and you'll be. I read this article. You have to see it. It's unbelievable. A study of exactly what. When Ein Ozer LeYisrael, when there's nobody to come to the aid of Klal Yisrael, don't tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam how to run his world. He will use everybody and anybody in order to save Klal Yisrael. I mean, of course, the great miracle was that at El Alamein, Rommel, the desert fox was stopped. And that also, by the way, if you can ever get your hands on a forgotten book entitled The Forgotten Ally by Pierre Van Passen. Yeah. Pierre Van Passen's book should be reprinted one of these days. I still have an old copy at home where Pierre Van Passen says, you think the British and the Aussies and the Canadians stopped Rommel at Al Alamein? They didn't stop Rommel. There were 500 Palestinians. By the way, in those days, Palestinians meant Jews. Palestinians in the desert who, for about 30 to 35 days, held up Rommel's tanks. And nearly all of them died or went mad in the desert from thirst. And they gave the British time to move in their forces to be ready to the Battle of Alamein broke out. I think it was the night of October 2nd, 1942, when the battle broke out. Coincidence, the commander-in-chief of the German forces had a heart attack and died the night of the battle. Where was Rommel? Rommel was having some kind of an operation in a hospital in Germany.
Yeah.
And they, Hitler, ordered Rommel back from his hospital sickbed. He has to go back. Just very fascinating coincidences. The Rebbeinu will bring a nest to anybody. All right. Let me give you at least a clean suffering upon Klal Yisrael. He stops the rain. The same time he stops the rain, he brings people back to life. What is this Yonah and what is this Eliyahu? I once said, and I believe that this is the at Mincha Yom Kippur, you know what the Gemara says? When Eliyahu was at Mount Carmel, when did God answer him? Lo nene Eliyahu elu b'sha'at ha-mincha. At Mincha time, Eliyahu was answered at Har Carmel, and down came the fire of heaven upon the altar. Yonah is read at Mincha on Yom Kippur. One said one word. There's one word that's missing in Sefer Yonah, the fourth chapter, after he has spoken to the. After he has spoken to Nineveh and he sees they're all going through that tshuva, so he says to God, Yadati, I know you, God. Al ken kidanti l'vroach Tarshish. You know why I fled to Tarshish? Ki yadati, because I know you. You're chanon and rachum. You're kind and you're merciful. You're rav chesed. You have so much kindness. You're erech apayim, long to get angry. Nichom al hara'a, you regret bringing evil. I know you. So what's so terrible? What's he saying? There's one word that's missing.
Amen.
The one word that's missing is the word emek. Did the Rebbeinu Shem tell Moshe? What are the yud gimel midot harachmim? Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanun erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emet. You know what Yonah is saying? Rebbeinu Shem, I know you. Your problem is that you are so kind and you are so merciful, you don't hold out for truth. Don't accept the tshuva of the people of Nineveh right now when it's this extreme kind of tshuva that will not last. That's an act of your chesed. That's your kindness acting. Not good enough. I demand emet. I demand truth. And you know what will happen if you demand truth? If you demand of them real tshuva, they will never cause suffering to the Jewish people. Eliyahu is the one who stands before God and he says, Rebbeinu Shlalem, you have to deal with your Jewish people not with kindness and mercy and pity and compassion and being long-suffering. Hold them up against the wall for truth. And truth is, if there's idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, no rain. That's the way you're supposed to treat them. And for chapter after chapter, the struggle that's going to go on between Eliyahu and God is that God tells him, Eliyahu, you don't understand. You don't understand that I'm merciful. I am Rav Chesed. And I cannot watch human suffering. And therefore, yes, I'm ready to bend the emet. I'm not going to demand emet. That's exactly what Eliyahu is. And what does the woman say to him, the Almana, what does she say to him when he brings her son Yonah back? Now I know, now I know that the word of God in your mouth is truth. Because you know what she's telling him? You know what real truth is? Real truth is God's mercy and compassion. Bringing a child back to life, that's truth. Stopping the rain over Eretz Yisrael is not truth. What is it? What is it that the officers of Yehu say? What do they say when this Meshuggah comes in? Sheker, you're telling us a lie. But what is he? That Meshuggah is Emmet, and therefore, the moment The moment that he tells them that the Meshuggah has anointed me as king, they remove their cloaks and they put them out on the floor and they proclaim Yehu as king. Do you know what Emet really is? When there is nobody to come to the aid and assistance of Kohen Zol, God next. Hakamat HaMedina after a Shoah when nobody in the world was ready to help the Jewish people. Yonah, what's his name? Because the message of Yonah is the message of truth. What, now you know what Rav Yochanan and Yonah, Ben Amitai, Navi Emet Haya. Doesn't mean that he was a prophet, a true prophet, and all other prophets were not true prophets. What he meant to say was, Yonah Ben Amitai demanded Emet. He demanded truth. That's what he wanted. And that's the ongoing struggle for chapter after chapter between Eliyahu and God. Eliyahu is God's angry man. There's going to be that great chapter in which God asks Eliyahu, Eliyahu, what are you doing here? He's out there in the desert. So he says, Kano kineti, I wanted to avenge the honor of you, God, and all of the prophets have been destroyed, and I'm the only one alive. The Jewish people have rejected your covenant. Heifenu et b'nitcha. And God turns to him, according to the Medrash, God turns and says, my covenant, they've broken my covenant? I don't know what you're talking about, Eliyahu. Maybe your covenant, my covenant, they haven't broken. And Eliyahu keeps insisting, these people are terrible. Yet you have to push them against the wall, force them to do tshuva, real tshuva. So that's why the Medrash says that for all of history, you know what Eliyahu Hanavi has to do? How many britot did you see today? Klal Yisrael have rejected by Brit. Eliyahu is the angry one. He is the Pinchas. Pinchas ze Eliyahu. This run through Cosby and Zimri. It's a certain kind of mysterious nefesh. Because remember, if Zimri would have turned around and he would have run through Pinchas, Zimri would have been considered innocent. Pinchas is ready to put his life on the line. Eliyahu says, I'd rather die. Yonah says, I'd rather die. What I'm interested in is a demand for truth. And that's why Yonah says, Al kinki damti livroach Tarshish. You know why I fled to Tarshish? Because I know you. I know you. You're so merciful. You're pitiful. You're compassionate. You're long-suffering. I know you. But he leaves out one word. You're Rav Chesed, but he doesn't say Emet. Because I know you're not going to demand Emet. And exactly what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants to teach him. I see Achav has humbled himself before me, so you're going to tell me it's not really genuine. I can't help it. He's humbled himself. I'm not going to bring the evil in his days. This is one of the that's the message of this specific chapter. That's what we started with. Do you know what God is telling Yonah? Haro'isa, have you seen that Nineveh has humbled itself before me? Same thing, they're wearing sackcloth, they're fasting. You see that they've humbled themselves. So it's not the perfect tshuva that you want. Are people perfect? My creatures. So I hope. Do you know what most fascinating? And maybe we'll have to save that for next week. What does Eliyahu become? Eliyahu is going to be the great, the one who brings the great news, the one who's going to bring Leif Avos HaBonim and Leif Bonim HaLavos, fathers and sons and fathers together. Hine Anochi Sholech Lechem Et Eliyahu Adam Yufnei Boyan HaRachamon Hu Yishlach Lanu Es Eliyahu HaNavi. These tapes not only bear speech, we have song on these tapes as well. HaRachamon Hu Yishlach Lanu Es Eliyahu HaNavi V'Yivaseh Lanu. The Soros Tavos, Yeshua and the Chavos, this is not going to be the Eliyahu anymore who is going to say, there shall not be rain anymore. This is a completely changed Eliyahu. Do you know what it means? Do you know what the story of Eliyahu and Avi is going to be? Eliyahu does tshuva. Do you know what the story of Yonah is? Yonah does tshuva. A Tishbi tshuva? Not bad. But I'll tell you something else. If you mention Tishbe, was it the raven Ushet Hamayim until the waters dried and then never returned? Yes, it is of Tishbe. That Orev from Noach is going to wait one of these days. Maybe the raven who saw God's merciful mercy and his kindness, he's the one who's going to bring Lechem and Basar to Eliyahu. So that.
Nice,
you like that? I should say it's nice. Okay, we got that. So this is the personality of Elio and the personality of Yonah. Elisha is the one who sends him to say truth. This Meshuggah, he's a Meshuggah. But they know that he.